Well, good morning, church. Thank you so much for joining us on this platform once again. I am very much looking forward to next Sunday when we'll have the chance, many of us, to gather in person. And of course, we'll still be online for those who aren't able to do that or choose not to do that at this point. That's all right. But next week, I expect, is going to mark a transition in how we gather and how we worship. And I'm grateful for that. As we look to God's word this morning, I'm still thinking in terms of some of the how-tos that we've discussed over the past few weeks. And I wanted to begin by reminding you, because I'm sure it's a story that many of you know, reminding you of one of the most beloved Bible stories in the Old Testament. It's the story of the little boy named Samuel who went to live in the tabernacle with the priest Eli. The Bible says that while Samuel was still a little boy, one night he heard a voice calling to him, and presuming that it was Eli, he ran to see what Eli needed from him. And Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back to bed." And the little boy went back to bed, but he heard the voice, and the routine repeated itself a couple of times before Eli said to Samuel, "You know, it's not me calling for you, but it just might be the voice of God that you're hearing." And indeed, it was God's voice, and the Bible tells us how even that little boy, Samuel, put himself in a position to hear what God was saying to him that night. That story is so beloved that you'll find it in children's illustrated Bibles. You'll find it as part of the curriculum in a kid's Sunday school class or in a vacation Bible school. And of course, you'll hear it as it's preached in big church sermons around the country all of the time. But it's not the only story in the Bible about people hearing the voice of God. We can think of many examples of that. Moses heard the voice of God while he was on the mountain. Elijah heard the voice of God after the wind and the earthquake and the fire had passed. Elijah heard God's voice in the gentle whisper. I love remembering that Elijah heard earth, wind, and fire, and then he heard the voice of God. Isaiah, the great prophet, prophesied to the people of Jerusalem that they collectively would hear God's voice. And even Jesus himself heard the voice of the Father. You will recall when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, Jesus heard the Father proclaim, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now today, we rarely think of hearing God's voice in terms of hearing audibly as if with our ears. But plenty of us still talk about hearing God metaphorically. I've found that plenty of others, though, still struggle with the entire concept, whether you're talking about an audible voice or even the idea that metaphorically we would hear from God as distinctly and specifically as did our Bible heroes. There are plenty of folks that aren't real comfortable with that thought. Last week, I talked about some of the how-tos of praying. And most of us equate prayer with talking to God. But does God ever talk back? And if he does, how do we hear him? That's where I want to be today. Now, you might be inclined to think that hearing God's voice is really just for advanced level Christians. It's not for the rank and file. It's not for everybody. It's really only for pastors to say, "Well, the Lord told me this." It's really for church leaders, and it's kind of reserved for that extra spiritual lady who sits on the end of your row and always closes her eyes and lifts her hands during the slow songs in worship. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say only they can hear from God. We might think that it's their job and the rest of us just have to kind of follow along and not create a ruckus, but look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to those his opponents at this point, he said to them, "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." And then down in verse 47, look at what he says. "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." So Jesus actually draws a direct line between a healthy relationship with God and the ability to hear God's voice. In other words, he's saying that if your relationship with God is right, you should be able to hear God's voice for yourself. And if you can't, it could be a sign that your relationship with God just might not be as healthy as you thought it was. That is a pretty sobering thought, especially for those among us who are maybe a little skeptical about the whole hearing God's voice thing. But here's the good news. For those that don't feel like they've ever really heard God speak, I'm suspicious that it's not because God isn't speaking. Consider these words from the psalmist, Psalm 29, beginning in verse 3. Look at these lines. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, all cry, glory. Clearly, God is speaking to his people. No, for those that don't feel like they've ever heard God's voice, I'll bet it's not because God isn't speaking. I'll bet it has more to do with the fact that we always haven't done a very good job of teaching each other how to hear God's voice. And we can't fault somebody for failing to do something that they were never taught. So instead of preaching a sermon that says, you need to listen to God some more, otherwise you might not be a real Christian, instead of preaching that sermon today, I think it would be more productive for us to explore a few of the how-tos when it comes to hearing God's voice. And remember, the Bible never tells us to do something without also giving us the means to accomplish it. So this should be pretty straightforward. And the first thing that we need to do is to acknowledge that God speaks through Scripture. When I use the word Scripture, of course, I'm referring to the Bible in its entirety. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed. God is speaking to us in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of that great book of Hebrews, says this, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The author of Hebrews is saying, we have the past, our heritage, where God spoke to us through the prophets. He's referring broadly to what we would call the Old Testament. And he's saying, from his perspective in time, we have the relatively recent days where God spoke to us through his Son, Jesus. We could broadly refer to that as the New Testament or the Gospels. He's saying God is speaking through his written word, the Bible. And that's why we refer to the Bible as God's Word or the Word of God. It's a title that reminds us that he is using the Bible to speak to us. And so if we're eager to hear what God is saying, we have to start in the Scriptures. I wonder if you've ever sent someone an email and then had that person come to you, perhaps in person, or maybe they write back, and they begin to ask you some of the questions that you addressed in the email that you sent. And it's clear by the questions that they're asking that they never actually read your email. How frustrating is that? If you're in business, I'll bet you've had that experience plenty of times. We had that experience just recently here at the church with a vendor that we were trying to use to buy some products. They were emailing and asking questions that we had already addressed, and it can be very, very frustrating. I know that the Bible is long, but try to remember that every bit of it is information that God wanted us to have, and we can't very well ask him questions that he's already addressed in his email. All Scripture, the Bible says, and that means even the long parts, even the monotonous parts, even the parts that we don't understand right away. All Scripture is God-breathed. Our desire to hear God's voice should begin with his written word. And of course, we have to be careful how we use his written word. We have to know how to handle it, so to speak. If something is to become useful to us, as the Bible says Scripture should be, then we have to learn how to use it for it to be useful. In that vein, I think one of the most important responsibilities that we have when reading the Bible is to determine whether we're reading something that's prescriptive or descriptive. Prescriptive or descriptive. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Prescriptive is something that tells us what to do. And the Bible has plenty of examples of information that is prescriptive, telling us what to do. But many people mistakenly assume that the entire Bible was meant to be prescriptive. And that's how we get Christians that think the right thing to do is to pick up venomous snakes and handle them. That's how we get non-believers that ridicule Christians for believing the Bible when they say it clearly contradicts itself. I remember several years ago, someone wrote a book called The Year of Living Biblically and chronicled their experiences as they tried for an entire year to do literally everything they could find to do in the Bible. Now, I confess to you, I never read the book, but my perspective on that is the Bible isn't telling us to do literally everything that it says in there because not everything in the Bible is prescriptive. So, of course, it becomes laughable when people try to do things like that. On the other hand, we have information in the Bible that is descriptive. Descriptive information describes the experiences and the actions of particular individuals or entire groups of people. Sometimes the experiences are good, but there is plenty that is bad. Please remember when you read the Bible, there's only one character in the entire story that we're supposed to be copying, and his name is Jesus. One of my favorite authors is the theologian Gordon Fee. And Gordon Fee has written that every word of the Bible is God's word for you. But he says not every part of the Bible is God's word to you. Here's what I believe Dr. Fee means by that. At times, reading the Bible is a bit like reading somebody else's mail. Or maybe it's like reading an email that was sent to someone else, but you were copied on it just so you would know that that information was out there. So when you read the Bible, and especially when you read the Bible for the purposes of hearing what God has to say to you, don't focus on trying to find an individual verse and taking it out of context and then trying to apply it to your own life. A classic example of this is the many Christians that have read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, that says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Christians have read that verse and said, well, there it is. God wants me to live a long life and be wealthy and never have any problems. Well, that may be God's word for you in that he wanted you to read that, but that wasn't God's promise to you. God said that, but he didn't say it to me, and he didn't say it specifically to you. Instead of doing something like that, try learning to read the Bible as a revelation of God's character. He wants you to know who he is, and he wants you to know how he deals with his people. And those things never change. And he's speaking to you through his written word so that you can learn. God is speaking to us through Scripture. God also speaks to us through godly counsel. Book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 15 reads, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Now, it's worth noting here that when the Bible says wise, it doesn't just mean a smart man or somebody who has the ways of the world figured out. Wisdom in the Bible refers specifically to godliness. In other words, the author of Proverbs is saying here, godly people who want to know God's will pay attention to what trustworthy advisors have to say. The Bible is full of examples of people who thought that they were doing the right thing, but ended up making mistakes, often, at least in part, because they never got godly advice. Or maybe they got it, but they failed to follow it. I can think of many examples, but one of the biggest and most tragic is the story of King Rehoboam. Now, his name might not be as familiar as some of the other kings in the Bible, but King Rehoboam was the son of the great King Solomon, who amassed a tremendous kingdom and tremendous wealth. Rehoboam, his son, lost most of his father's kingdom within a period of just a few days after his father's death, simply because he didn't listen to godly counsel. If you're trying to determine God's will for your life, or if you're looking for a direct answer from God on a specific issue, you would do well to share your concern with some godly friends who will pray with you and help you to hear God's voice. Now, that, of course, doesn't mean that we always have to do what other people say, because it's up to each one of us to discern how God is using people to speak into our lives. But church, we can't even begin to do that if we haven't asked for their advice in the first place. And here's something you may not have thought of. When you're looking for godly advice, there's no need to limit yourself to people who are still alive. No, I'm not talking about contacting the dead. That would be witchcraft. And I'm not talking about praying to saints. That would be terrible theology and counter to what the Bible plainly tells us. But I do think that it's worth remembering that God speaks through historical perspective. People have been calling out to God since the beginning of time. And Christians in particular have been seeking to hear God's voice for 2,000 years. Chances are that the situation you find yourself in today has some sort of historical parallel. And it's worth looking into how Christians have traditionally responded to things like what you're facing today. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, was a big proponent of incorporating what he referred to as Christian tradition into discerning God's voice. Now, that's certainly not to say that the church has always gotten everything right. We've made plenty of mistakes through the years. But even when we've gotten things wrong, looking into those stories and learning from them can be a helpful part of hearing what God is saying to us today. Billions of people throughout time have endeavored to follow Jesus. And they have been rich, they have been poor, they have been young, they have been old, they have been male, they have been female, and they have lived in virtually every cultural context. Much of what seems difficult for us today has already been dealt with by others, and we can learn from them. Now, this can be especially helpful when we're trying to hear God's voice on issues that we're facing related to current events in the world today. I invite you to explore and consider how Christians throughout history have discerned God's direction on issues like war and domestic violence, things like immigration, issues like the sanctity of life, and a host of other things. Hearing the counsel of those that have gone before us can go a long way in helping us to determine what God requires of us today. Reading the Bible, listening to advice, learning from history, these are all practical things that we can do to hear God's voice. But one more important truth remains, and that is that God speaks to us through personal revelation. Now, we cannot escape the clear biblical truth that sometimes God just wants to say something specific to you. And God can do that through a variety of means. Speaking about the days that you and I are living in right now, the Old Testament prophet Joel said that God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Now, I want to remind you, if you're part of the HRCC family, you've heard me say this 100 times. When we use the word prophecy, we're not talking about telling the future or fortune telling. Prophecy, by definition, isn't prophecy because it has to do with the future. When we use the word prophecy, as Christians have always used the word prophecy, we're referring to the phenomenon that happens when God weighs in on a current situation. When God uses an individual or a group of people to speak on his behalf into the circumstances in our lives, that's prophecy. And Joel is saying, "I will pour out my spirit on all people, says the Lord, your sons and daughters will prophesy." So when we say we want to hear God speak, prophecy is really what we're talking about. And here God is saying he's ready to do that through us. Through all of us who have received his spirit, irrespective of gender, irrespective of age, irrespective of nationality, or anything else that we can come up with, God is speaking. So what does that look like when God speaks through personal revelation? Well, for somebody who knows the written word of God, who understands God's character, and whose relationship with God is healthy, a word of prophecy can come as a deep, deep conviction, a sense that something must be done. It can come as an urgent motivation, a deep abiding sense that I need to go somewhere, or I need to do something, or I feel the need to be engaged in a way that I'm not engaged now. Or it might come as an inexplicable moment of clarity. I just feel like I understand and see what is happening here and what is going on. And those kinds of things can come in our thoughts. They can come during our times of prayerful meditation, or it can come just exactly as the Bible says, in our dreams. God can speak to us through a variety of different means. But does that mean that we just run off and do every fool thing that comes to mind because we believe that God put it there? Absolutely not. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Testing the spirits, what does that mean? Well, it means examining the supposed prophecy before we act on it. We can do that by asking some important questions. Is it consistent with what the Bible says? Because we already said the Bible itself is God's written word, and God is not going to contradict himself. We can ask, does it draw us closer to Jesus or farther away? Does it draw others closer to Jesus or farther away? Because the Holy Spirit always moves people toward a deeper relationship with Jesus. And we can ask ourselves, what does the community of God's people have to say? Because God will often confirm his word in the hearts and the minds of our brothers and sisters. When handled properly and when handled biblically, the issue of prophecy need not be as scary as it might seem. And yes, God is speaking directly to his people, even today. So if you long to hear God's voice in your life, I invite you to do these things. First, put yourself in a place to actually listen. When we want to hear God's voice, sometimes we find that he was speaking the whole time, but we weren't listening. If you want to receive a phone call on your cell phone, you can't go out into the boonies where there's no cell signal. Likewise, if we want to hear God's voice, we have to position ourselves in such a place that we're likely to hear what he's saying. That can mean a few different things. Often I find that it does mean silence. Sometimes God just wants me to be quiet, just as Elijah discovered that his voice was in the gentle whisper. Likewise, it could mean placing myself in community. We already talked about this, but if you really want to hear God's voice, endeavor to do that in community, because God will speak to us when we have one another's support. Put yourself in a place to actually listen. And second, read God's word. Read God's word. Don't ask God to speak to you unless you feel that you've really searched his word for the answer that he left for you in the first place. As you read God's word, pray that the Holy Spirit would do what he promised to do, which is to help you understand what you're reading. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you want an answer to a specific issue, you have to open a concordance or a Bible encyclopedia and search for the particular verse that answers the particular question that you have at this particular moment. I think we can be much more broad than that. We can say, God, I'm going to go to your word. And just spending time daily in his word, learning his character, prepares us to receive the revelation that he has for us. Third, and I've said this in many different ways, invite others to seek with you. If there's something that you long to know, ask a pastor, ask a trusted friend whose relationship with God is healthy. Ask someone that God has given to you to join you in the process of seeking his word in your life. And finally, just trust that God is ready, able, and willing to tell you what he wants you to know. Is God speaking to his people today? Absolutely, he is. Does God reserve his voice for some while he is silent in the presence of others? Absolutely not. Church, all we need is a few of these how-tos, and we too can understand what God is saying to us today. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for the privilege we have of not only speaking to you, but also hearing from you. I pray that you would help us with these how-tos. That is, Lord, our hearts genuinely want to hear your voice. You would help us to know and to learn and to remember how to do that which we long to do. Spirit, speak to your church today. Lord, like never before, we need your word. Speak to your church today. I pray, Lord, that you would enlighten our minds, that every time we open the covers of our Bibles, every time, Lord, we read and proclaim the gospel, that our hearts would freshly receive that word which you have for us. I thank you, Lord, for those that you have placed in my life, my friends, my colleagues. Lord, I thank you for my church in whose company I hear your voice. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to discern your voice together. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak clearly and plainly. I pray, Lord, that the words of the prophet Joel would be the reality that we live in. God, that you would give us dreams, that you would give us visions, that we would be guided in this life, not by what we want, but what you want for us. I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking through young and through old, through men and through women, through each one that knows you, that is covered by your Spirit. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.